think so. All right, this meeting will come to order. Clerk, take the roll.
Representative Smith?
Here.
Szymanski?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Champion?
Here.
Cornish?
Here.
Grunhagen? Wilstrom?
Here.
Frezel? Vane? Lesh?
Here.
Liebling?
Here.
Mazarol?
Here.
Schumacher?
Here.
Tilbury?
Here.
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 Thank you.
We do have a quorum. Chairman notes that members in the packet, first of all, order of business is the minutes from the last meeting. They're in the packet. Representative Wardlow moves approval, if you will, of those minutes.
So moved.
All right. Any discussion? If not, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails, and those minutes are adopted. To the members of the committee, if you take a look in your packet, there is a fiscal note in the, on this bill. It does have a cost to the Supreme Court, so it's the chair's request, and I believe the author's the presenter's request will be that we hear the bill today, hear discussion, and then lay it over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill later. Representative Szymanski, is that appropriate to you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is appropriate.
All right. So if you'd move the bill, then we'll proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that House File Number 68 be considered in the Judiciary Committee and held over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
Representative Szymanski, thank you. Would you please present the bill, then we'll get on to the testifiers.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Forgive me for not being completely prepared for this one this morning, but the careless driving resulting in death is a serious concern. I've had constituents in my office recently encouraging me and thanking me for being a co-author on this bill. Their concern is that inattentive driving causing great bodily harm or death is a serious consequence, and they were very appreciative of the fact that we were looking at increasing the penalties for such crime.
I think we'll go right to the testimony unless there's any question from committee. Yes, Representative Campion.
Mr. Chair, so is it okay that I ask directly some questions around the bill?
Representative, yes. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. And again, for the record, Representative Groffel is the chief author on the bill. He is not here, but as a courtesy to the committee members who did show up on time, I think we should proceed. If a question is not answered, or if you need additional answer when he shows up, we'll revert to your question. But proceed now, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Szymanski, I noticed that the bill uses the term heedlessly, and I understand that that word means without care or concern. Can you give me an idea of what this means and how this would be applied if this bill was to become law?
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the term heedlessly, to me it's also carelessly or heedlessly, basically means without regard to the other occupants of the roadway, whether it be pedestrian or another vehicle on the road surface. And I think a driver has to be attentive to his surroundings while he's operating a motor vehicle, and to operate with disregard for other occupants other users of the roadway. In my interpretation, that would be the heedless operation of a vehicle.
Representative Champion, I'd ask House Research to also add to that answer.
Mr. Chair and members, under case law, carelessness and heedlessly is equated currently with ordinary negligence.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Champion.
So, is it fair to say if I'm driving and I'm usually an attentive driver, but let's say I'm using my GPS, I'm abiding by all the speed limits, someone barrels out and unfortunately they are killed, would I then be a criminal under this, under House File 68?
I'm going to ask House Research to step in on the question, answers as well.
Mr. Chair and members, I believe that would fall under ordinary negligence, and so it would fall under the gross misdemeanor.
Anything further, Representative Champion?
No follow-up.
Any other questions? All right, I'd ask the I'm sorry, yes, Representative, Representative Johnson was first, then last. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is to, I guess, Representative Szymanski or any of the other attorneys here. If a judge already has the leeway to enhance sentences for an incident of this sort, why would it be necessary to have this law anyway?
Representative Szymanski.
Or anybody else who can chime in on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will defer to legal counsel on this one.
Mr. Chair and members, the current penalty for reckless or careless driving is a misdemeanor. So this would move it up to a gross misdemeanor. The judge wouldn't have the leeway on a misdemeanor to enhance it.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. The only thing I would note, just more of a comment, is the fiscal impact, which you, Chair, already noted. I appreciate that. And I, looking at the fiscal note, I also note that there's no notation in the terms of local correctional resources. I assume probation would have some sort of effect, as well as the local jails. So I don't see that noted in the fiscal impact, but I suspect there would also be some probation costs involved.
Representative, that probably is one of the other things that we can add to or clear up by the time we would take this back up. Representative Lesh.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was one question I had as well. Every time, Mr. Chair, Representative Szymanski, we turn one of these misdemeanors into a gross misdemeanor, it has a substantial impact on your local police, your local jails, your local courts, and yet we're able to enhance crimes in this committee and other public safety committees because we say, well, there's no statewide prison bed impact because we don't turn it into a felony. And it's a clever way to get around the fact that there is actual real costs associated with driving up impact on people's property taxes and resources without having to go through an actual fiscal note process. So I was interested in that, Mr. Chair. As the Chair is aware, I've made this complaint through various times and in recent sessions as well, regardless of which party is in control, and I have major problems with it. My second question, Mr. Chair, for the author is relates to the difference between careless and reckless driving, both of which apply under this statute. In your understanding, and maybe, oh, here's Representative Garofalo. Maybe I should just ask him. May I ask Representative Garofalo, Mr. Chair?
Representative Lesh, yes. First, let me welcome the author of the bill to the committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I thought this meeting scheduled at 8:30. My apologies.
That's fine. We're rolling. You've got good authors on the co-authors on the bill, and we're trying to get through this. Representative Lesh, restate your question for Representative Garofalo, who is at the witness table now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Garofalo, can you tell me your understanding of the difference between careless and reckless driving?
Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lesh, my understanding is that it has to do with the negligence standard with regards to what is negligent and what is not negligent. And I don't know what Representative, my good friend Representative Szymanski, who stepped in for me today, if he's talked about this, but the current law, the way it's set up, is the negligence standard and the gross negligence standard. But perhaps we should go to House Research and they could answer that question better than I was about to.
I'd ask House Research to add, please.
Mr. Chair and members, under case law, as I mentioned before, carelessness is an ordinary negligence standard, whereas recklessness is a criminal negligence standard, which means unreasonable risk of harm, and that they knew or should have known that the manner of driving would create that risk of harm, but they don't need intent.
Yes. Thank you. And, Mr. Chair, if I may just expound on that, the words in the statute under 16913 specifically state willful or wanton, meaning essentially that if you accidentally ran the red light because you didn't see it, But if you were traveling in a manner or driving in a manner where you knew you were running red lights and you just were going to blow through it anyway, that's reckless. Careless would be accidental. The statute, though, and this is my question as it relates to the proposed bill, that would be an intentional running of a red light, not an intentional murder of an individual. We have a statute for that, and it's called criminal vehicular homicide, or homicide in itself, depending on how it's done. The reason I say this is because I don't know if there's anyone in here other than me, and maybe there is, but who's prosecuted a petty traffic accidental death. I've done several of them, and they're very difficult situations for the prosecuting authority to deal with. Oftentimes, a family does want a more severe crime because the traffic accident resulted in a death. However, many of us have questions as to whether or not someone should be subject to a year in jail because they ran a red light and it resulted. I had one case where there was a kid traveling down Maryland just west of Rice Street, and an individual made a left turn, didn't see the kid traveling on the far side of the street on a bicycle, made a left turn into the street, hit the kid in the crosswalk who was on his bike. The kid died. It was a really difficult situation for the driver and for the family, and the family at that time was ambivalent. They thought maybe something more stringent should happen because their child died, and at the same time they knew that it was an accident. So I guess what I'm saying, members, is I don't think this is something that's so clear-cut, and with the additional resources that we have to put in to up it to a gross misdemeanor, I have my questions about the bill, as I have had in the past.
Very good. We do have testifiers. However, one more question appears. Representative Cornish, did you have a question?
No, I had a comment.
Well, we'll save the comments for discussion. I'd like to go to the testifiers now. It looks like who's here today to would like to testify on this bill? Raise your hand. I see one, two. Anyone else? Have a seat at the table, please. Give us your name and then proceed.
Representative Smith, members of the committee, my name is Joseph Olson. I'm a law professor at Hamline University School of Law. I'm not here on their behalf. I'm also a board member of the Hiawatha Bicycling Club. I'm not here on their behalf either because they haven't been able to have a meeting to take a position on this bill. I'm here as a cyclist. I'm here as one of those people I didn't see. Well, I learned in driver's ed many years ago that your eyes were supposed to go before your wheels. That if you're making a right turn, you don't look at the GPS. You look where the car is going to the right. And if you do that, you will see the orange helmet on the bicyclist who's right next to you. Same thing with left turns. I didn't see the little boy. That's because you weren't looking. You have a duty to look. That makes it negligence. If you never look, and it's your habit to never look, then you're probably up in the area of carelessness because, yeah, you really don't care and you're habitually negligent. Well, there should be a cost to that. Oh, my. I might lose my job if I was convicted of a gross misdemeanor driving a big rig. Well, someone was killed in Minneapolis on a bicycle last year by a big rig. Someone was killed in November by someone driving a delivery truck. Well, it was difficult to look out to the right with all this metal in the truck, and I forgot to use my mirror. And yes, I did ride right past the cyclist. But I wasn't looking, so I turned right, and I killed a man. That this isn't a more serious crime really sort of amazes me. These are folks who simply never look. They're people who are violating the law because they have an obligation to look. And I think we ought to do something about it. I think, in fact, you should you should add substantial bodily harm. People can have $300,000 worth of medical bills, be out of work for 6 months, because they were lucky enough not to be killed, which is just a matter of luck. I think you should add substantial bodily harm to this, and I think you should pass this bill. I've been looking at some of the forums on bicycle safety, and there seems to be at least 10 deaths a week in America of cyclists who are hit by drivers who, I didn't see them. Well, you're required to look.
Questions of the testifier. Representative Tilbury.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question for the testifier. Do you happen to know how many mirrors there are in a school bus?
Mr. Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative
Tilbury.
I would estimate there are probably 10.
That's a good guess. It's about 12. The reason that I say that is I used to drive school bus as I went to college. I could have been charged with negligence all the time because of this particular bill, because of looking in several mirrors. And there are blind spots for almost every single one of them. And I have a busload of children behind me that I also have to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is that because you didn't see something, you're automatically guilty. And I'm just trying to point out that probably everybody in this room, just by simple driving, would, under this definition, would be under this. And if something that happened to a child, or you killed someone by driving and not seeing them, you better be ready to fall under this guideline. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me I guess it comes back to the question that I would ask is, what exactly is an accident? If you could answer that. And maybe that's more rhetorical.
An accident is where you do everything right and it happens anyway.
Mr. Olson.
Quite possible.
Mr. Chair, that's, I suppose, real subjective, and that this bill would make me very nervous. And I don't think the court system, and this is my first time on the Judiciary Committee, I don't see how a court system could afford this bill. I don't think the fiscal note even covers close to it.
Mr. Chair. Representative Cornish, you have a question?
Yes, it's a question, Mr. Chair. I'll start it out, and then I'll ask the question in the end, but I think you're making a way more of a deal than this, and it is. There's still a lot of discretion involved here. First of all, when they come up to an accident, an officer, if it results in death, you very rarely write a ticket at the time. The decision whether to prosecute is still made by the prosecutor. And this has been a bill that's been supported by ABATE for years. I supported it here. We've been spinning our wheels on this. It started out as a felony. They've backed it off now to a gross misdemeanor. And it's really frustrating for the family and for the officer also when you pull out and you kill everybody in the car because you pull out for a stop sign and think it's just an inadvertent mistake. And they don't call them accidents anymore. They call them crashes. Just for the fact that it's not an accident. There is a causation factor for these things that happen. Somebody did something wrong. This is a good bill. I'm highly in support of it, and it's just a gross misdemeanor. I think the local impacts have been exaggerated quite a bit here. I think there'll be very small local impacts, and I guess my question would be for the professor, is there discretion in this or not? Isn't it still up to the prosecutor whether they charge with a gross misdemeanor or charge at all, and after that, isn't still up to the judge what the penalty is? I don't see anything who shall be sentenced to a year in prison or this or that. So if both the prosecutor and the judge still have discretion, this isn't a shall or a mandate, is it, Professor?
Professor Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, no, it is not a mandate. And one thing it provides that I think we heard it in testimony in the previous committee. A lot of people are charged with motor vehicle homicide with the felony offense. At the moment, there is no lesser offense. And so the jury is faced with the question of gee, the person really was careless, the person really was driving without adequate attention, but when the choice is felony or nothing, they don't give them the felony, they wind up with nothing. And this bill would create a significant lesser offense. And I think, on balance, we would get more convictions and fewer acquittals in those cases where you have a felony charge brought in a case that isn't clear, and in most cases aren't clear.
Mr. Chair, to that point.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cornish.
Just the prosecutors that I know, a number of prosecutors would like at least the option of going something more severe. They're very frustrated also for at least not having the option. They don't have to charge them, but if somebody dies in an accident, they would like the option to go to a gross misdemeanor, a step higher. Thank you.
We have Representatives Flesch, then Hillstrom. Representative Flesch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Professor Olson, I haven't had this chance to ask this question of a law professor, but since you're a law professor, I'll ask you. Would you consider 16913, reckless or careless driving, a general intent or a specific intent crime?
Professor Olson.
As you know, my primary area of teaching is not criminal law. And with that that introduction, I would consider it general intent.
Representative Flesch.
Mr. Chair, Professor Olson, the reason I asked is because for those of the members of the committee that aren't familiar with it, we have a general intent crime that you actually have to have to do the willingness to perform an act which results in the criminal behavior. For example, driving a vehicle that goes through a red light. Specific intent is adding an additional element, which is you do that behavior with the intent of something else. For example, lying in wait with the intention of killing someone, first-degree murder. I guess I get concerned when we add on additional results to a crime where the original general intent remains the same. You know, Representative Cornish might be right. Maybe making a mountain out of a molehill here, but it is a much bigger deal, I think, when it results in a death. And I can tell each one of you that prosecuting authorities take these things very seriously when you've got deaths involved. It's a very different thing. A lot more work is put into it in terms of communication with the families and what happens. And I don't think it's too often that a family saying, "Well, you know, it should have been a greater crime," because they're getting their pound of flesh out of the defendant through insurance. Someone's going to be paying up for sure on this if they have a gigantic judgment, wrongful death judgment against them or something. So that was just one of the reasons I asked. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Professor Olson, taking you back to your statement, you said that this would result in fewer felony acquittals. Do you have any statistics to tell me what a number of felony charges there are and how many are acquitted currently?
Professor Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, no, that is simply my opinion. I talked after the last hearing. I talked after the last hearing with one of the prosecutors who was present, and it seemed to be an opinion that he agreed with, but it's simply my opinion.
Any further questions from anyone?
Mr. Chair, it would be nice if we could get some data on how many felony charges versus acquittals maybe there were in the state of Minnesota in the last year on this kind of case.
Representative Hillstrom, this bill is being laid over, and my CA has ears. He's listening, and I just told him to try to acquire that before we revisit this bill. Representative Johnson, we have one more testifier.
Just one quick question to the author. Has the Minnesota County Association weighed in on this particular bill?
Representative Groffel.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, the Minnesota County Attorneys Association has, and they do support this bill.
All right, let's go to Mr. Thank you, Professor Olson. We have one more testifier, if you give us your name, and then proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dorian Grilly. I'm the executive director of the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota, but like Professor Olson, I am not representing them today. They have not taken a position. But I assure you this is widely supported by bicyclists, as Professor Olson alluded. The discussion forums, this became a very hot topic. And I'll give you a very brief, very personal example why. On August 26th, I was riding my bicycle home on the Gateway State Trail from a meeting in downtown St. Paul to my home in Matamidi. I got to the intersection with Hadley Avenue, which has a crosswalk just south of Highway 36. The light was red. All the cars on Hadley Avenue were holding still. The cars in the two marked lanes of traffic were stopped, so I proceeded across the intersection. I didn't make it. I got about 10 feet from the other side of the intersection, and I was struck by a car while in the crosswalk that was passing on the right. The driver was violating the rule about passing cars that were stopped at the crosswalk, passing on the right and not yielding to someone in the crosswalk. In fact, I landed about 10 feet from that big green sign, I spent the next 3 weeks in Regents Hospital. It cost $300,000 to screw me back together. I probably wouldn't be here without this helmet, which, without the little internal mesh, would be broken in multiple pieces. The driver pled guilty to careless driving. Was charged and pled guilty to careless driving. I don't really know what the sentence, the final sentence was, but even if I would have been killed, it would have still been a misdemeanor. And I really think that is not substantial enough penalty for substantial bodily harm, which was caused to me. By the way, the driver's insurance did not anywhere near cover the $300,000 medical bills, so it fell on me to do that. There was no opportunity to sue this person because I was hit with a 95 grand am that was worth a couple hundred bucks, and the person was turned upside down and shaken by the insurance company, and there was no extra revenue to be had in this situation. So I strongly support this bill. I agree with Professor Olson that substantial bodily harm should be added along with the death penalty.
Any questions from the committee?
I didn't mean to say that. Causing a death.
Mr. Grilly, thanks for your testimony. We're going to get to that other bill next week.
Okay.
I didn't say what year. Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the testifier. These are certainly very serious things. I mean, in my own district a few years ago, a child was killed crossing the street on a bicycle. In fact, I just carried a bill to name a pedestrian bridge after her. So, I mean, I in no way minimize the problem for bicyclists and for other people on the road. But my question to you is, if this bill had been law, what difference would it have made? I mean, I really don't, as I said to you before we started this hearing, I really feel that if we're going to increase penalties and increase severity of offenses in this terrible fiscal situation we're in, we need to make sure we're getting public safety bang for our buck. Not just feeling good, not just saying to our constituents, look what we're doing for you, but actually getting additional safety for the money we're spending. How would this bill have prevented what happened to you?
I'm going to, certainly the testifier can answer, but I want to zone in on the legal difference between existing and what you're asking. So I'm going to ask House Research to tackle that question first. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, the bill, House File 68, is limited to resulting in death of the person. So in the case of substantial or great bodily harm, it would still be a careless driving misdemeanor.
Wait, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do realize that, but I'm talking about in terms of even if it applied to substantial bodily harm, I'm just saying what preventative, how does this prevent the kinds of incidents that we're talking about? How would this, you know, and let me just say it, I brought this up the other day with reference to a different bill. You know, we have different goals for legislation for criminal justice, you know, for criminalizing behavior, you know, on different goals. And one of them, of course, is that, you know, as a society, we want to punish people who commit bad behavior. But the other thing that is that we want to prevent. We use criminal law to prevent bad behavior. And you can only do that if having something on the books actually influences people's behavior. And so that's the question I'm asking. How would this have prevented what you're talking about?
Mr. Grilly.
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I really truly believe that people disregard many of the traffic regulations, whether it's speeding, passing on the right, not stopping at a crosswalk, because they're insignificant penalties. They are not taught that there are significant consequences to violating these traffic regulations. And even this bill would not increase the penalty just for getting a ticket for passing on the right or not yielding in a crosswalk. But when they actually cause substantial bodily harm or kill someone, I really think that it needs to be known that these things that probably many of us disregard can have serious consequences in a very small percentage of the offenses. And you know, like it cost me $300,000 to be screwed back together. So there are severe consequences to this, and there are great costs to society. Insurance companies paid most of what, but the hospitals ate much of what it cost to put me back together. So,
Representative Liebling, any further questions? Representative,
thank you.
Representative Champion, again, I'll remind the committee that we can discuss this bill, but it's going to be laid over, so we will have additional opportunity to discuss. Representative Champion, question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two questions. To you, testifier, my question is, and I'm not trying to be flip, I really want to know the answer to this. If a bicyclist causes an accident, can you tell me of any penalties or any legislation that would make them responsible for their conduct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Champion, a bicycle being driven on the road is a legal vehicle, and they have to abide by all the rules and regulations, all the rules and traffic regulations. So if a bicyclist ran over a pedestrian in a crosswalk and killed them or caused substantial bodily harm, I think they should be prosecuted and penalized for it.
Representative Champion.
Do you know of any specific law, even if a bicyclist causes an accident with a car, so do you know of any specific legislation
that
would make that behavior challenging or criminal?
Mr. Grilly.
I don't really understand the question. Okay. Maybe the Council can answer that.
Representative Champion, restate your question, and then we'll see if House Research has a response.
Okay. In light of, let's say that there's a bicyclist who causes, who's negligent. Let's say perhaps that they are not riding where they should be. A person is injured, be it in the car or a pedestrian. Where in the statute can one go to and for a prosecutor to prosecute a bicyclist?
It's
So, Representative Champion, if a bicyclist causes an accident and injury, what's the, where in statute is punishment? Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Chair and members, I apologize. I don't know the answer to that question. I'll see if I can find it in the hearing.
Mr. Chair, I believe it's the same regulations for motor vehicles, because a bicycle is defined in statute in 169 as a vehicle. So
let's
be the same rules.
Professor Olson, do you, you're at the table now. Do you have a response on this question?
He's correct. This very statute would be applied to the cyclist. A bicycle is a vehicle in Minnesota.
Any further questions, Representative Champion?
And one follow-up question to staff. If my memory serves me correctly, I think earlier you said that that currently the law is that if there's careless driving, it would be confined to a misdemeanor because there's no opportunity to enhance it. And is that what you said earlier?
Mr. Chair, members, the negligence standard that applies on careless driving right now is limited to a misdemeanor. To go up to a felony for death would fall under criminal vehicular operation, and that's a gross negligence standard. So that's where Minnesota law currently is.
Representative Champion.
One last question. But isn't it also true that there's the possibility to enhance sentencing if there are aggravating factors under the sentencing guidelines?
Mr. Chair, members, I believe that would only apply in felony cases. I don't believe that would apply in a misdemeanor case. I'd stand corrected, though.
Anything further? We're going to go to discussion.
Nothing further. It's my understanding that it applies no matter if it's a misdemeanor level or gross misdemeanor level. Is that your understanding, Representative? Oh, it's not.
If I can, Mr. Chair.
Representative Vlesh, you're being drawn into this. You
scared of I didn't mean to. Leave me out of it. The statute you're talking about, Representative Champion, relates to felonies, but you can do that in a misdemeanor regardless. So the maximum on this, as it stands, is 90 days in jail, which I'm guessing even in a felony, you wouldn't actually be serving. You may get 30 days, 60 days, depending on what it is. But with the misdemeanor level and the law as it stands now, a judge could impose up to 90 days in jail just without any additional time hanging over the top, and it'd be recorded as a gross misdemeanor on your criminal record.
I want to thank Mr. Grilley and Professor Olson, and if you take a seat in the audience, we're going to go to discussion at this point. Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just a few comments. First of all, in answer to Representative Liebling's question, what would deter you? A lot of our laws deter you from activity. One is a move over law that we passed a few years ago. Highway patrolmen were getting run into in a magnificent scale. Sometimes the Metro troopers would be run into multiple times every year. And they passed the move over law so that when you see flashing red lights on the side of the road, you have to move over. After a number of people were cited continually for that, it's improved greatly the safety, and I think the same way with this, a deterrent would work. On this law that we're talking about, remember this as we're considering this, as it's held over, 99% of the time, you can check my facts if I'm wrong, but when a trooper or a deputy pulls up to the scene and there's been a death involved, he or she does not make the decision whether to charge you with a misdemeanor, a gross misdemeanor, or a felony. He leaves that decision to the prosecutor because it's so important they come out and do diagrams of the scene and everything else. And so this is just an option for the prosecutor. Once the prosecutor gets this, he can start all the way down. I think Rebecca or Ms. Pierce could tell me if I'm right, but there's petty misdemeanors almost. I believe it's operating without due care or diligence. There's another one for inattentive driving. You could cite the suspect for that. And you could also go to the gross misdemeanor. You could go to criminal vehicle operation. This is just another tool to get in between inattentive driving or too fast for existing conditions, which are very low misdemeanor offenses, some of them mail-in, to this, where you've got a division between a misdemeanor and a felony. So if the prosecutor is worried about his or her costs, don't charge him with this. If you think it's going to end up in your time and it's not worth it, the prosecutor will say, okay, either you're going to charge him with a misdemeanor, inattentive driving, or not at all, or go to the felony. This is just another tool. There's no shall prosecute. There's no shall mandate for the judge in here. So it's another tool, and I think it's being blown out of proportion. It's a badly needed law. It gives it another option, and I would appreciate if, while it's held over, if you would consider it for passage. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative, thank you. I'd like to proceed with discussion, but I'm going to revert back to testimony. I've just been informed that a member of the public has shown up, wants to testify. So if you'd come forward, sir, and I'd ask you to keep your remarks to about 2 minutes if possible. Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
members, state your name and then go ahead.
I'm Steve Clark. I work for Transit for Livable Communities as a bike walk program manager. I was a former bicycle coordinator, pedestrian coordinator in Boulder, Colorado. And in so my career has spanned 30 years, and a lot of my work has been on analyzing bike car crashes and also pedestrian crashes with motor vehicle. And what seems to be a pattern is that no matter how reckless or careless the motorists, and I also appreciate Representative Champion's concern about the bicycle crashing into the pedestrian, same kind of situation where there seems to be just an attitude that, well, when you're on the road, you know, might makes right. And in fact, we became so frustrated about the number of situations where motorists simply it was a slap on the wrist, basically, for seriously injuring or even killing, in some situations, a cyclist or a pedestrian. When I talked to attorneys, the DAs about it, it was always, well, our laws really don't let us do much more than this. And unless we can show that the person was drunk or that the person was just trying to kill this cyclist or injure the cyclist, we really can't do anything about it. It was just an accident. What I'd like to really stress is that, you know, the roads, traditionally, the paradigm of a road is a public right-of-way. It's a commons. It's for everyone. And it's become something that has turned into sort of, I don't need to be as careful. And I tell my kids, you know, when you're driving a car, you should be thinking about that act the same way as if you had a loaded gun. And I think we have become kind of desensitized to just what is out there and what our responsibilities are. So this law is really about just having the same responsibility as a driver, as a bicyclist, as you would if you were carrying a firearm, and just reminding people that, yes, they are truly responsible for their actions out there. I thank you for considering this law and for the chance to testify, but it is extremely important. We need to take this very seriously because people are getting seriously hurt out there.
Mr. Clark, thank you. Any questions of the testifier from the committee? I don't see any. I'm sorry, Mr. Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the testifier. Are you familiar with the critical mass activities that have occurred in Minneapolis and other cities in recent years?
Mr. Clark.
Yes, I am familiar.
Okay. Representative Lesh. If I could follow it. Are you familiar with, have you participated in any of those activities, sir?
Mr. Clark.
I never have, sir. No.
Okay. Representative Lesh.
Well, the reason I ask is, this strikes me as kind of a philosophy and testifier's comments of the might make right issue harken to my memory about how these things occur and about how the only damage a bicyclist can do is to perhaps running over another individual, which is not necessarily true. One of my heroes, T.E. Lawrence, swerved to avoid bicycles who were proceeding illegally and got killed. Vehicles on the road are big vehicles, and damage could be done to them when you are attempting to swerve and avoid
whether it's pedestrians or bicyclists or other vehicles or anything that's out there. So this strikes me as one of those things that just goes to the heart of, you know, who owns the road, and absolutely is true. When you got a bigger vehicle, it's going to do more damage, but everyone needs to make sure they pay attention. And I have some problems with the activities of these critical mass groups who I think are forcing the issue to a head, which can only result in more damage all around. So that's all I wanted to say, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lesh. Any further discussion? Before we proceed with anything, we do have a testifier who was unable to be here, but there is some written testimony from that individual. I'd ask the page to come forward, pass that out to the committee. I'll let you take a look at that for a moment. We'll go back to discussion and then dispense with this bill. Any other discussion? Just for the record, this is from a Jim Dowling, St. Croix Valley Riders of Minnesota Legislative Director. Stress to the on the bill and to the committee. It appears to be supportive, although I have not completed reading it. Any questions? Any discussion? All right, the chair is simply at this point, Representative Groffo, thank you for presenting your bill. Good luck with it. The chair is going to lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill or for further action by the committee at a later time, in which case we'd notify you either in either event. Chair lays the bill over.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Groffo, you're free to go. However, do you have any other bills before this committee that you're aware of? No. Any that you may choose? Well, we do start at 8:15 and meet Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you don't have any other bills, at least on those 2 days, enjoy sleeping in.
Mr. Chairman, I'm usually at my private sector job at those times, but I appreciate the offer, and I'll think about you the next time I do that.
It's always a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, sir.
And also thanks to the pages. You had a little extra duty this morning having to roam the building looking for the author of this bill. Thank you. Thanks, Representative Szymanski, as well. There's no further business. Unless anyone has anything, the chair notes that this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.